together. Let's start from the beginning and then we'll skip it. The Ramban describes the symbolism of the chalom, of the sulam mutzav arza, Rosh HaMagia Shemaima, the Malachi Elkim, Olam V'Yordimbo. What does it mean exactly? And then after that, Hashem reassures Yaakov, he'll be with him, but what was the meaning of the chalom itself? V'hinei sulam mutzav arza, Rosh HaMagia Shemaima, V'hinei Malachi Elkim, Olim V'Yordimbo. Her'uhu b'chalom hanavua, kikol hanasa ba'aretz nasa al yad hamalachim, b'chol b'gzeras elyon aleihem. The idea here is that everything that occurs in this world is carried out by the malachim based on the gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, malachim don't have independent power. They are the executors. They implement the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the way that the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets carried out in the world is al yidei ha-malachim. Ki malachi Elokim asher sholach Hashem lishalech ba'aretz lo yasu kitana o gedola ad shuvam lisyatsev al adon kol ha'aretz reymar lefanav hisalachnu ba'aretz v'inehi yoshevet b'shalva shleva o melei acheret v'dam v'hu yitzav aleim lashuv laredes ba'aretz v'latzos dvaro. Okay, so what he's saying here is that the way the process works is that initially the malachim notice what's happening down here, down below. They're out there. Hashem sent them with halech ba'aretz. That's not even part of the olim v'yordim. That's even before you get to the olim. That's what happens. They're out there. They're noticing. And then what happens after that is, and they could, in theory, want to do something already now to impact on the situation. Ultimately, they're going to be the ones that carry it out, but they can't. Their hands are tied, so to speak, until they go up, that's the Olim, and they stand before Adon Kol Ha'aretz, and they say, we have scattered out the land, we've been across the land, and this is what we see. This is the state of affairs. Things are calm or things are turbulent. Fine, that's the Olim. They're reporting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they get their instructions. And then Hu Yitzav Aleihem to once again go down. This is the V'yordim. There's Olim and Yordim. To go down and to do what Hashem wants. The language the Ramban is employing here is very similar to what you find in the beginning of Sefer Iyov. If you remember, Sukkim there, that Satan comes, he's coming from Mishut Ha'aretz, Meis Alech Ba, from going around. So it's clearly not a coincidence that the Ramban is using this expression. But that's the way things work. The way that a gzera gets carried out is with this description that's used in the chalom. Malachi Elkim Olim to report back, the Yordim to carry out the instructions that they're given, and then they go forward. Okay, so what comes afterwards? So this is what Hashem is conveying to Yaakov Avinu, starting off. Sulam is here, the Malachim Olim, the Yordim. V'hinei Hashem Nitzav. The next pasuk says, "V'nei Hashem nitzav alav v'yomer." What's the meaning of the word alav? Now, according to Rashi, the meaning of alav is upon Yaakov. In which what's olav on it, on him? It's a lashon zachar, olav. What could it refer to? So Rashi says olav l'shamro. So according to Rashi, the meaning is it's a separate thing. According to Rashi, olav v'yordim has to do with the malachim that were malave him, the malachim that malave him ba'aretz. They don't go to chutz la'aretz, so they're olim. And then the malachi chutz la'aretz are now going to continue to escort him. So that's Yordan. So that's one thing. And now there's something else. V'nei Hashem nitzav olav. Hashem is now over Yaakov to guard him. Some explain, because there's like a gap. There's like an in-between moment, a window of time that there's no malachim. There's the malachim that malave him until now, they're going up. And then the other malachim are coming down, and in the baini, in the interim, v'nei Hashem nitzav olav. Some explain it. But it's a new thing. According to the Ramban, this is all part of the same vision and the same message. Having explained and having conveyed and described the sense of malachi ulkim olim v'yordim, that things that happen in the world happened in this manner, that the malachim report to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what they see in the world, and Hashem gives them instructions that what to do, how to, what to carry out in the world, olim v'yordim. And that's the way things happen in the world. Then Hashem says, that's the vision for the world. But Yaakov, you, your people, and you specifically, you don't have to go through this mechanism of the malachim to carry out your destiny. Your destiny is directly supervised and managed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Ramban, therefore, the meaning of olav is not on Yaakov, it's on the ladder. Let's see. Ve'era'ahu ki hu yisbarach nitzav al hasulam. Notice, according to Ramban, the word olav is going on the ladder. Because this is the idea here. There's the ladder and the way it normally works, but Hashem is on the ladder. It's integrated in the same vision. Point to Rabban. Not two separate things. Same vision. It's Olam V'yordim, and Hashem is on the ladder. And Hashem speaks from to Yaakov as part of this vision on top of the ladder, and he gives him this incredible guarantee, Haftacha Gedola, Lo Dio Shehu Lo Yia B'yad HaMalachim, Avo Yia Chelek Hashem, V'yia Imo Tamid. So the purpose of conveying this whole vision of the sulam and the ladder, which represents the general hanhaga of the malach elkim olam v'yordim, but Yaakov, you are a whole different parasha. For you, it's Hashem on the ladder that speaks to you and says, I'm managing you directly. Okay. That's he says. Yachel Kashem, Yaimo Tamit, Kmosh Amar, as he says further, Vinoch Imach, Ushmaticha Bechosh Telech, Kimaloso Gedola Mishar Hatzadikim, Shenemar Bahem, Kimalocha Vitzavaloch, Vishmarcha Bechol Derachecha. There's this idea that we have in Tehillim Yoshe de Seser, that someone who's Boteach Hashem is afforded protection in the form of malachim, who provides shmira. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov that your maila is above that, not just like ordinary tzaddikim that have shmira in the form of malachim. Your shmira comes directly from me. There's a couple of things here to note. First of all, the Ramban says Yaakov's maila is greater than the Shar Tzadikim, who have the Shmira of Malachim. But it's interesting that the Ramban himself writes at the beginning of Vayishlach, the very first sentence or so in the Ramban's commentary in Vayishlach, he writes, Nichtava Parsha Azos Lodia, Ki Ahitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avdo, Uga'olo Miyad Chazak Mimenu, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, as we say by Meiriv, that Hashem saved Yaakov Avinu redeemed him, miyad chazak bimenu, vayishlach malach vayatzirei. Lashon HaRamban. Vayishlach malach vayatzirei. How can the Ramban say vayishlach malach vayatzirei? The Ramban here says that his ma'ilu was above that of Shad Tzadik. So the real answer to this I can't explain. It's Kabbalah. But the Ramban himself is sensitive to this. And in a couple of places he mentions that there's a certain type of malach, a certain malach that is, you could almost say, I don't want to say synonymous exactly, but ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says, ki'shmi b'kirbo. There's the ordinary malachim, and that's the process of malachim. Yaakovin was above that. Ki malach v'tzavalach. But there's also the malach that's kishmi b'kirbo. Maybe he's called Matatron, he might have a name. And the Ramban alludes to this, I say it's al derech ha'emes, so I can't explain it, but the Ramban alludes to this later on in Vayetze, the pasuk Anochi Hakel Beisel, it's a paraglamid aleph, pasuk Yud Gimel. Notice, it's the malach that's speaking, right? The pasuk there. Vayomer, Yaakov is now describing to Rachel and Leah that they have to go, and what had happened to make him realize that they need to go. Vayomer Eli Malach Elokim B'chalom Yaakov Amar Hineini Vayomer, and so on. Anochi ha'el beis el Hashem Hashach l'sham atzev Hashem nadat li sham neder atal kum tzev nor tzazos Hashem eretz nolat atacha. So Anochi ha'el beis el, and this is the Malach speaking. The Ramban writes here b'toch ha'dvarim ha'derech ha'emes, he says Yom ha'malach hazeh Anochi al kel beisel v'chein v'yitva mokom kel beisel v'hu ha'malach ha'goel. We know Yaakov also refers to a malach ha'goel seen in Kol Ra in the bracha to the grandchildren of Amenashe v'chein b'chol beisi neman hu ma'maskel yavin. So what I'm trying to point out is that there's something more here that we're not really can't really grasp right now, but there's this madrega malach that is kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's not a stira in the Ramban. Okay, but there is this basic idea here that Yaakov's maila is above that of ordinary tzaddikim, and it's not via the malachim. Now I think this is also connected to another very important yisod of the Ramban, because what he's saying about Yaakov is also true about Klal Yisrael, specifically in Eretz Yisrael. It's a yisod of the Ramban that you find in numerous places. He alludes to it very much by Arichus and Parshas Achrei most, but also in a few other places in Ekev, and throughout his Pirush al Torah he makes reference to this, that Behanchel El Yongoyim Be'afrido B'nei Adam, that every nation, wherever they might be in the world, is governed by a guardian angel that's associated with that nation, that country. But Klal Yisrael are Chelek Hashem, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chav Nachalasa. And when Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael, that's why the Ramban holds that the mitzvahs that we perform in Eretz Yisrael have a different significance, qualitatively different. Not that the obligation doesn't exist in Chutz Laaretz, but it doesn't accomplish to the extent that a mitzvah has all kinds of ramifications in the cosmos and whatever all that means in terms of the power. The connection is different in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvahs are different in Eretz Yisrael, even mitzvahs that are not Chuyas Laaretz, even mitzvahs that are Chovas Aguf. And that's because in Eretz Yisrael the relationship is direct. It's not, there isn't a buffer. It doesn't work through the channel of Malachim. So it's clear that Ramban's point here is not limited just to Yaakov. It's what Yaakov is being told about himself and about the destiny of Klal Yisrael too. Okay, let's skip ahead to Vayar Bnei Be'er Basadeh, Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Beis. Yeah, that's it.
I'm just wondering, wait, so it's that it's more directed to Klal Yisrael, or with Klal Yisrael when they're in Eretz Yisrael?
Well, it's probably both, but for the Ramban, I think it's especially so in Eretz Yisrael. I think that Kichel Keshem Amo obviously has it's a reality wherever we are, but the fullest expression of that midah is in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. If it's out of Eretz Yisrael, then even Klal Yisrael's fate, to some extent, the Jews, that is, in Chutz La'aretz, gets affected through the, you know, through the those channels that exist in Chutz La'aretz. So it's not as direct. Yeah. Okay. So Vayar v'inei ve'er basada. So now the Torah tells us how Yaakov Avinu arrives in Haran, and the first thing that he encounters is this well with the flak, the three flaks that are lying around it, and they would get the water from the well, and there's a big stone that's covering the mouth of the well, and it describes that all the flaks are gathered there, and they would come together and roll the stone off and give water to the sheep, and then restore the stone. And in the course of the conversation, Yaakov starts asking them, where are you from? Do you know Lavan? And they tell him that Rachel is coming, and Yaakov tells them, hey, no, they am gadol. It's not time to bring them in yet, fine. And they explain that they have to give the water to the sheep, and Rachel is coming, and then Kasherah Yaakov is Rachel, Yaakov himself single-handedly is able to lift the stone. Okay, what's the message here? Why is the pasuk so verbose, describing the what seems to be a very at first glance just a simple story? It doesn't seem to have much there. Why is the Torah so descriptive about it? It says Ramban first in terms of pshat, and then something deeper. Dr. Ramban, Yarech HaKosuv B'Sipur Hazeh Lo Di'enu Ki Kove Hashem Kove is a question how to read it. The pasuk is in Yishai, as you know. Yachalifu Koach V'Yir'aso Titen Os. The idea is the Ramban uses Melitza based on Sukkim throughout his prayers, so you realize that the Ramban is just intermingling expressions from Sukkim, but the idea is that Yaakov Avinu suddenly was overcome with tremendous energy that comes from the fact that he is plugged in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where the strength comes from. Physically, he shouldn't have had the ability right now to do this. After all, let's understand where he's come from. You know, by the way, of course, where this expression comes from, v'hu ayef, we had it last week. Esav, no coincidence. Notice the contrast here. Esav comes from sadeh, v'hu ayef, and his ayef leads to a sense of despair. You know, he's totally spent. He's drained from his day. And the next thing he does is he sells his whole fortune, his whole future, the b'chora in a moment of despair and fatigue, and where does it lead him? That's it. That's his total break from his whole legacy of Avraham Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is b'min ha'derech v'hu ayef. He's also spent. He's also tired. According to Chazal, he just had one night's sleep. After 14 years, he didn't sleep. Okay, certainly that vision he had gave him inspiration. Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, Rashi says, Nasa Kavaleches. Okay, but that always part of the Ramban's point of Kovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach, because he was able to tap in to the hope and to the longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly where it's coming from. Ki hinei Yaakov Avinu ba min haderech v'hu ayeh. Physically, he should certainly be tired and spent and drained, and understand also the circumstances of his going and the fear that it accompanied it. He's running away from Esav and he's missing, he's lonely. I mean, just describe the picture here of Yaakov Avinu. He's all by himself, ki v'makli avartis hayarden hazeh, you know, he's all alone and he's tired and so on. V'yogel levada ho'evan asher hitzvichem ela kol haroim. All these shepherds, all these flocks, they're around and they can't move it. It's too hard for them. One person single-handedly who's coming from the road tired, and he manages by himself. There is a stanza in Tfilas Geshem that was written, of course, by Reb Kalir, the great Paitan, and describing different scenes in Tanakh that have to do with water. And one of the stanzas describes what we have over here. Yichad Leiv, it starts with the Yud, that stanza. Yichad Leiv, v'gol Evan v'pi be'er mayim. And then later, Bavura, Tidna mayim. We're referring to Yaakov. And notice what he writes. Yichad Leiv, he united his heart. The go Evan, repeat the air mind. Where does strength come from? Physically, you wouldn't imagine that it would be there. Torah Mateshes Kochu Shaladim, and physically he was tired anyway. Yichad Leiv, the go Evan. By the way, the word, the expression Yichad Leiv, you find it once in Tehillim, in Tanakh. We borrow that expression in our davening. Yachid Levavenu. It comes in, I think it's in Kuf Yutes, Liyira. Yached Levavi Liyira Shemecha, something like that. And Ramban is saying the expression, Liyirasso Titein Oz, a connection to the same expression that we find in the Piyut of Yached Lev. So the Koach of Yaakov Vinu was a supernatural Koach that came from a special reservoir of Yiras Hashem and the Muna Bashem. Yeah, that's the basic message of the year according to the Pshat. Yes.
Is the Ramban emphasizing this to come up maybe against another reading? Because the pasuk when it talks about Yaakov coming to roll it off, it emphasizes that when he saw Rachel coming,
yes,
then he went. It sounds like, it's, I guess, very, very partial. It sounds like sort of like an adrenaline rush.
Right.
So the person
right.
Who came to see it.
Right.
But he's emphasizing it's more.
Right. Clearly, the Ramban. Right. You're 100% right. The Ramban does not make any mention of that pasuk and that connection. And even to the extent that the pasuk mentions it, it's not to be taken in a sense of a pure physical attraction, as it were. First of all, we don't know how old Rachel was. Could be the Ramban himself mentions later, she was very, very young. So clearly there was, even that has to tie into the Ramban's point that he obviously knew or Mazolo Yada that through this person he's going to be bona bias, and that's what he's here for. And so that's all connected to the Yerasa Titanos. That's the Binyan of Kal Yisrael. So it's not true, the Torah makes the point of mentioning it, but only insofar as the Ramban's point is also the source of the strength. So that's what Rachel represents, as opposed to saying something like, much more, what we would like to think, reading the Pasuk without having the lenses of the Ramban, we would just say, oh yeah, you know, he suddenly saw Rachel and that gave him... Obviously, the Torah is bringing that up, obviously, to also tie it in, but the way it ties in is in light of the Ramban, too. Yeah, point is well taken. I once spoke about that whole union. I don't remember what I said, but that pasuk of Soy Rachel, I don't remember anymore. I have to remind myself. Yeah. Urabaseinu beveshis rabba gam bazelahem remez lo asid. Now, the Ramban has another very important idea in connection to this, and the Ramazim of this story. The Ramban has already told us in the beginning of Lech Lecha that the stories that are described in connection to the Avos, although they might seem simple and they might seem to be unimportant, all of them have symbolism and important messages to us. That's called Maisa Avosim Labanim. And the Ramban, after setting that rule down for us, introducing us to it, beginning of Lech Lecha, he tells you, I'm going to explain as we go along, anytime we notice something like this, I'll give you the understanding. And for example, in Toldos, with the wells of Yitzchak, the Ramban explained how they're merames to the Batei Mikdash. So the Ramban is going with that thread over here. In other words, as I've told you in the other instances, that the stories are remez la'asid. Here too, Chazal found a remez la'asid in this story. And this is what it is. Kinizdamein lo kacha. It just so happened that Yaakov Avinu encountered this scene of the well and the flax. Shenichnas b'derech ha-be'er. The lone nestle kola adorin rak shlosha mehem. So there were three. Shlosha et ritzon. So why three? Furthermore, uba bizman sha evan al piya be'er. He arrived at a time that the evan was there covering the be'er. The adorim shomrim la. And the flax were around it, watching it, guarding it. The kola inyan hamisuper kan lehodio, in order to inform Yaakov the following hint about his future. Sheyatzliach baderech hazeh. This road, not just the road in the physical sense, this path that he's now going down, this endeavor that he's now beginning, is going to lead to hatzlacha. And the children that you will bring into the world are going to merit the symbolism in this story. The Yud Beis Shvatim that you're going to be maimid are very much embedded in this story. And how so? Ki ha-be'er yimruz l'beis ha-migdash. So what is be'er? The Be'er is Beis HaMikdash. This is something that the Ramban already told us in Yisro. In Toldos, in connection to Yitzchak. Right? There were the three wells. Esek, Sitna, Becholvos, three Batei Mikdash. You can see the Ramban over there. Ushrosha et Reitzon. He says, Ole Shrosha Regolim, some are Gores, like in the Medrash. Eilu Shrosha Regolim. The Shlosh Ed Ritzon represents now what aspect of Mikdash? The Aliyah L'Regel three times a year. Kimina Be'er Hahi, from that Be'er Yasku Ha'adarim, the flocks will be watered, will drink, meaning Shemisham HaYeshoah V'mruach HaKodesh. That from the experience of visiting the Beis HaMikdash, people would draw Ruach HaKodesh. Now, the Ramban is alluding to what we find, Lamashal, by the Medrash says, the Yonah HaNavi. He first became a Navi when he visited the Beis HaMikdash in one of the Ali L'Regel. When he was Ali L'Regel, and the idea is, Shaptim Mayim B'Sasim Mani HaYeshua, that the experience of being in Yerushalayim, the time of Ali L'Regel, the fountains open up. Mayne HaYeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh becomes available for the people who are wired, in tune, able to receive it. Sometimes you can have the antennae up, and you have to have the waves coming in. You know, you have to be tuned in, but there also has to be a frequency. The frequency is Sholosh Regalim. So if you have the right person at the right time, in the right place, then there's a click, then it connects. So the experience of Sholosh Regalim allows those who are in the Madrega to be shoved Ruach HaKodesh. That's the watering here of the well. Shosha Regalim, and the experience of being able to rise to Ruach HaKodesh. Osha Yirmos, another possibility with the drawing of the water. Kimitzion Teisei Torah, Shem Shalom Lamayim, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Kimitzion Teisei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, right? So, the idea being Torah. So it could be Ruach HaKodesh, it could be Torah, but the source is always Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. It says also Vines and some other associations in the words here to Alila Regel. Vines v'shama chol ha'adarim, all the flocks would gather there, would be gathered there. Explains the Rabban, Ba'im milavocha ma'ashad nachal Mitzrayim. In other words, the whole length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, they would come converging on Yerushalayim from all over. That's the Nesfu Shama. The Alila Rego is an idea of everybody gathering. It's an Asifa, right? That's the idea. That's the Nesfu Shama. Understand the remnants in the words. From all over. And it's a Pasuk. Hamas and Nacham Mitzrayim. The Galilu Esa Evan, Vihishku, again, echoing Shemisham, Hayushov Ruach HaKodesh. And finally, the last thing he connects is the Heshivu Es HaEven, they put the stone back, Munach L'Regel Haba. So be ready for the next Regel. I want to point out a couple of things here. I want to explain this Munach L'Regel Haba, but before that, just another thought in connection to the idea here of Alila Regel with Yaakov Avinu. And then about this Munach HaRegel Haba. I think that the specific remez of Alila Regel is very timely for Yaakov Avinu right now. Yaakov Avinu's legacy, obviously, specific legacy, is that he's Maimid Shvatim. Chai Yisrael, as a nation, is comprised of Shvatim, Shiftei Ka. Avraham Avinu had a Yitzchak, Yitzchak had a Yaakov, but Yaakov created the entity called Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is defined in terms of Shvatim. We know Gemiri Delo Kala Shifta, the Gemara says in Yeshnochen. Yud Beis Shvatim is a sod that Yaakov Avinu knew and the Imahos knew, Leah knew. They have to be Yud-Bet Shvatim, just like there are stars and certain constellations in the sky and planets, and the world needs every single one. So every single Shevet is an integral part of Klal Yisrael. If there's a breeze that Klal Yisrael must remain eternal, then that also carries over to the Shvatim as well. Pesach Rav has in the Sefer the idea at length, the notion called Bris HaShvatim in Kan Malkam Maharich, but Yaakov Avinu's legacy is Shvatim. He's Maimed Shvatim. The notion of Aliyah L'Regel is not just Stam. Yor Kol Zchurcha. Klal Yisrael are Ola Regel. Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. No. Aliyah L'Regel is Klal Yisrael at its zenith, at its pinnacle. Klal Yisrael coming together in one place, as one. When you speak about Klal Yisrael coming together as one, you have to speak about Shiftei Ka. Because Klal Yisrael is defined in terms of all its different facets and colors and the whole spectrum of Klal Yisrael. Yerushalayim o'nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash is shayach to everybody. The image of Aliyah L'Regel has to be defined in terms of Shvatim. And this is very much evident in the Kapitel Te'ilim Kuf Chav Beis, the third of the Shir Malas, which talks about Aliyah L'Regel. Samachti ba'omli beis Hashem neilech, omdus ha'yrogei b'shoeich Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim havnu kishuchu bar yachtav, shesham olu Shvatim shiftei ka, edus li'Yisrael odus Hashem Hashem. The pasuk describes the convergence of Yerushalayim and the achdus of Yerushalayim. Yisham habnu kishuchu b'lo yachdav. It's the notion of achdus And it's the notion of all the different shvatim, all of them, shesham alu shiftei ka edus liyisrael hodus Hashem Hashem. If you want to define on a machshava level what aliyah l'regel is, aliyah l'regel is the converging on Yerushalayim of shiftei ka. And again, part of that has to do with the notion of Achdus, that Yerushalayim represents Achdus, Achdus Melmala, Yerushalayim Shalmala, Achdus Lamata, and Achdus has to do with the fact that we have all different kochos, all different aspects, and the quote of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem Echad, Mikam Chai Yisrael Goyechad Ba'aretz, is that we are not homogeneous. We have different paths, we have different shvatim. That's the totality of Kal Yisrael, and that's the Achdus of Mikam Chai Yisrael, that there's Shiftei Ka. So, therefore, the remez for Yaakov Avinu at this very juncture, because he's now on the path of being Maimid Shvatim, so the first remez that Yaakov encounters when he arrives in Charan is the remez of Aliyah L'Regel. I believe that's the Omek here in the Ramban's remez of Aliyah L'Regel right now. The other thing I want to mention on this Ramban is the point the Ramban says at the end, Veheshivu es ha'even munach l'regel haba. In what sense is this part of the remez that they put the stone back? I mean, seemingly the remez is that they were showing Ruach HaKodesh. But yet, apparently no. The remez also has to encompass that the even was put back on the top. What is the significance of that? I think it's an important notion in Avodas Hashem we should appreciate. The only reason why the experience of the L'Regel was such that it could inspire Ruach HaKodesh was because there was a time of the L'Regel where the window was opened and the channel was opened, and then there's the break, and then there's being able to process it, take it in, and now it's up to you to do that. The stone is back on the well. It's going to open up again, the next regel. You see, to the extent that the channel is always opened, you're not, the experience will not be the same. The reason why the there could be the growth that comes from that encounter with Kedusha is because it was defined in terms of a particular time. This is the way we are, the human condition. We can't constantly be on the high. You have to have the experience, you have to be intense, you have to take it in, and then you have to be able to take that growth and carry it out in the less intense moments. And that's the nature of growth. I hope I'm making the point. In other words, if you are in a situation where, I give you an example. You go to Eretz Yisrael, some yeshivas, they're mamish right there, by the kotel all the time. If you don't appreciate what that means, so unfortunately what could happen is that even at those high moments, it's not going to feel that much different because it's too familiar. And so there has to be a feeling of separation, distance, and then coming back again. It's not just true mitzad the mekabel, it's true mitzad what's available as well. If it's freely flowing and available, then you're not going to be able to really gain and grow from it and nourish from it. The nourishment has to be based on the fact that it's open and it's closed. And then it opens up again. And then when it opens, then you're there to take it in. And when it's closed, you're there to now bring yourself up through what you took in. Just like if you eat, you have to digest the food. It's not just the eating itself and the enjoyment of the eating, it's the process that comes the nourishment that comes. So that's what comes next. So between one regal and the other, what's happening is we're not drawing inspiration, we're living on that inspiration. And we're taking the inspiration and allowing it to influence us on the day-to-day. But if it keeps flowing, inspiration, chizuk, you know, you go, you hear a fire brimstone, musa shmuz, or you go hear a face, or you know, whatever inspiring drasha you hear, and then you hear it again, and hear it again the next day, even if it's another drasha, a different speaker, a different drasha, at a certain point, it's going to be diminishing returns. You're not going to be able to take in the chizuk. I mean, if you're going to hear day in, day out, you know, as great as the speaker is, and as inspiring as he might be, and as wonderful the words of Torah are, and there you go, literally, chizuk, inspiration, where is there time for you to actually, first of all, take in the chizuk, and then being able to live it? You know, so you comes a Shabbos, and then you hear a good drasha, and then it carries you for the week. And then comes next Shabbos, you'll hear, hopefully, another good drasha, different angle, a different speaker, or the same speaker, but a different drasha. And then again, it carries you for the week. And so that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what we have over here as well, the image of Shosh Regalim, Yeshua Bruch HaKodesh, during that self-defined moment. We have some Chanukah coming up. So Chanukah has its own avoda and its own inspiration, what it can give us. We have to be able to use the 8 days of Chanukah to take what we could from that, and then Chanukah is over. Then we go on, we carry on again. That's, I think, the basic idea here in Munach Regel Haba. So it's not just incidental. It's what defines and allows the message of Shosh Regalim can only be such that there's a time that the stone is on the well, and there's a time that the stone is removed from the well. But in order that the stone being off the well can do what it's meant to do, and for everyone to be able to take in what it is doing for you, it's because the stone is closed after that. And therefore, you're able to take in what you need to take in when it's open, and then know that there's a next regal to hope to wait for, and then we'll get more of it again. Because then you get depleted, so you have to have another regal afterwards. Okay, that's, I think, the basic message. Let's go to, okay, so this is a very important Ramban, Perek Lamed. Okay. Rachel confronts Yaakov Avinu. She doesn't have children. Pasuk says, "Vatei Rachel ki lo yolda liYaakov, vatekanei Rachel b'achusa." How we explain that to mean she's jealous. Rashi says it hamasim tovim. Leah had so many children, already 4. Rachel had no children. So she says to Yaakov, "Hava livanim, give me children." V'imayin meisa anochi. I'm dead. That's what she says. Vayichar af Yaakov v'Rachel. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel. Vayomer, Hasachas Elokim Anochi Hashemana Mimech Privata. Am I in place of Hashem who withheld from you children? What's going on here? Difficult to psuk it, right? What's Rachel saying? What's she demanding of Yaakov? Why is Yaakov angry at her? What's the back and forth here? Amru ha-mefarshim. So first of all, hava livanim. What do you mean? Give me children. What does she mean to? What does she mean to say to Yaakov? Hava livanim. Amru ha-mefarshim. Rashi, for example, others. Hava livanim means that this palel alai. So what she's demanding of Yaakov is that Yaakov should daven. Yaakov should daven for her to have children. And what does she mean when she says further, "V'im ayin meisa anochi"? Lashon Rashi, "Shemi she'en lo banim chashuv k'meis." Yaakov, she says, daven for me to have children, because without children, I'm considered like meis, because mi she'en lo banim chashuv k'meis. V'hu medrash Rabbi Zain. According to this, basically, she comes to Yaakov with a request, daven for me. After all, Mishe'en Oban Choshev Kemes. Sounds like a very appropriate request, ask her husband to daven for her on her behalf. Vani Tama, thank the Rambam. Im Kain, Lama Chara Apple. Why is Yaakov get angry? Lama Omar, Hasacha Selukim Anochi. And my place of Hashem. Vishomeo Tzadikim Hashem. Hashem listens to Tzadikim. Of course, I'm not in place of Hashem, but why would I not want to daven? Umasha Amru. Chazal add a point here, the gracious Medrash Rabbah. Abba loha yulo bani. In other words, when she says daven for me, she says, after all, your father, Yitzchak, daven for Rivka. Rashi adds that too. After all, kach asavicha limecha lo spala leha. So the Medrash explains that Yaakov's response was, as Rashi also quotes here, you wanted me to be like father? Ani eni ka abba. Abba lo hayu lo banim. Ani yesh li banim. Mimcham mana velo mimeni. Father Yitzchak didn't have children, so he davened for his wife. I have children already, so you're the one that doesn't have children. That's what the Medrash says. That's how they explain Yaakov's response. Umasha om vishis rabba. Abba lo hayu lo banim. Ani yesh li banim. Mimcham mimech mana velo mimeni lo mana. What? V'chi atzadikim en mispalim bar acherim? What kind of a time is that? It's your problem, not my problem. So with your problem, I don't dive in for your problem. V'hinei Eliyahu ve'Elisha hispalu bad nashim nachrios. We know. So both the cases of Eliyahu and Elisha, there were women who could have children, and Eliyahu and Elisha both dive in for a woman who couldn't have children, should have children. So they weren't related either. Yaakov has a wife. He has another wife. He has children anyway. Good, but she wants children. Why not daven for her? What kind of a response is that? So what's going on? Vinira. So Bishvil Zed Tavsura Basenu. In a chanami, that's why Chazal actually critique Yaakov Avinu. Vishis Rava. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kach onim es ha-mo'ikos. That's how your answers, people were in distress. Chayecha shebanecha asidim lama lufnei benah. Your children have to stand before her son. As we know in Mitzrayim, Yosef was the melech, and everyone else came and bowed down to Yosef. And so how could you talk this way to woman, some woman in distress? So apparently that's what Chazal critiqued, but we still have to figure out pshat here. So what the Rabban is about to do is this. First, he's going to go al derech pshat here to explain what's the problem here, what's Rachel doing, why is Yaakov respond so harshly. And then he'll try to go back to Chazal and try to fit something in with Chazal as far as the way Chazal took it, what would be the pshat and why Yaakov didn't daven. So let's go first to derech pshat. Zakhtar Ramban, very thought-provoking Ramban here, what we're about to read. Derech pshat. Amra Rachel Yaakov. Chitin Rabbanim. Give me children. Ube emes. Daita loma shispalo leha. What she's really saying is, as we saw already before, that she's saying daven. But it's not just that she's saying daven. But what she's saying is, avo sheyispalel ad sheyiten labanim al kopanim. You daven until you grant me children. The imayin, if I won't have children, shetomis atzma b'tzar. So notice what's going on here. It's not stam. By the way, why do I want children so much? Because the ima'ayin meisar nochi, misha engelban chashev kiveis. No, the Rabban is taking this the following way. She's saying, Yaakov, daven for me because there's no way. If I don't have children, tamis atzman b'tzar. So she's using it as leverage, saying ki'ilu like, if you don't, then, or else, like a threat, which is over the top. To speak that way, to extend, he's saying, you do it, because you can do it, right? And if you don't do it, Thomas Hassan Bitsa. Dibra Shiloka Hogan, Bikin Asa is from the Pasuk Vatikani Rachel Bachosa, motivated by the Kina, however you explain that, Tikane. But there was something about her manner of speech that was inappropriate. The chashva, but she figured, ki ba'ahava so'osa, because of the fact that Avram, Yaakov loved her so much, yis'ana Yaakov, v'yubasak ve'efer, knows he'll daven to the fullest, whatever intense level of tefillah is required, yis'ana v'yubasak ve'efer, v'yispal achi yulabat, in other words, do not rest. She's telling Yaakov, do not rest in your tefillah. Go. Do everything that it takes in the level of tefillah, because I know that when you'll do that, bingo, then I'll have children. And I want you to do everything that it takes because, she says, Shalom Thomas Betzaira. Because, short of that, I'm not going to survive. So that was for Yaakov something that he was makpid on, that she spoke to that in such extreme tones. Vayichal Yaakov. Why is that? Why did this strike Yaakov as inappropriate? Because what does this convey? The fact that she's saying, you do whatever it takes until I have children, because I'm not going to make it. Meaning that she's conveying a sense of, there's no question that if you do that, or that, or that, or that, or that, then I'll have children. And I need you to do everything to give me children, because I can't live with that. So Vayichal Yaakov, she'ein tefillah sadikim biyodan, she'tishma al kol panim. First of all, Yaakov is upset because who can know for sure? We saw in the beginning of the parasha, the malachim might see everything that they see in the earth, and they might want to do this or that, but they can't do anything until they get the Hakadosh Baruch Hu's instructions, right? So, tzaddikim, as much as Yaakov Vinu has tremendous koach, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm watching you directly. But at the end of the day, Yaakov is batel mevuto keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can he guarantee that his tefillah will be answered? He doesn't know. So therefore, Vayichal Yaakov, because what she was saying was conveying the sense that for sure you'll be able to make it happen. Furthermore, but then what did he say? But it's not just Vayichal, but he says, Hasachas Elokim Anoch Shemonai Mimech Private. Uba'avur Shedibra Derech Gagui Hanashim Ha'huvos Lafchido B'misasa Chora Apo. Because she spoke in this way of women who are, you know, who love by their husbands, and she used that love, which clearly was, it was a love, to threaten him. What did she say? V'mayim Mesa No. That's why you got angry. That's inappropriate to bring up the Mayim Mesa Nochi Akila as a threat. Kach Omala. Ke'enenu b'makom elkim. These are the 2 points now. Ke'enenu b'makom elkim she'yif kod ha'koras ha'kopan. And this that you are alluding to suggest that for sure I can make it happen. Asachas elkim anochi. I'm not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu could do anything. I can't do anything. I don't know for sure. Secondly, as far as the Mayim Mesa Anochi, ve'enenu choshesh b'davar. Now he's saying something which is really a hurtful statement. Let's be honest. Enenu choshesh b'davar, ki mimena nimnat pri ha'beten v'lo mimena. You're the one that has the problem, not me. It's your problem. Why does he say that? Zeh liyaser osa ulachlim. To discipline her and to shame her. The pay that Yaakov had on speaking in his around him in his house, an inappropriate word. So he had to create a sense of a stinging remark in order for her to be humiliated. She realizes that Caroline Yaakov shavu l'spal alatzma el shemet zaka, and that brought her to daven directly to Hashem. The zel beishmael alokim. The Ramban, in a nutshell, is saying that we have this going on here is not v'mayim mesa nochi stam because chashav kemes, but she was using that over Yaakov with a sense of Yaakov Avinu, you can do anything, do whatever it takes from me, because otherwise ki'ilu, like she's saying, it'll be your fault. My mesa no, here's what I'm going to do. So she's making it as seem as if you have the ability, and you're holding, you know, you're going to be the, you know, the cause. If you don't do it, if you do all you can do, of course you'll make it happen. And if, short of that, if you don't make it happen, which you can make it happen, then what's going to happen to me? So what she's doing is she's making it like a power struggle. That's essentially what Ramban is saying. That's what she was saying. This is why Yaakov responds, Vayicharaf Yaakov Barachov, because the Metzia says she sees it incorrectly. He can't guarantee anything. He can't guarantee it. Hasachas Elkim Anokhi. Because Baruch can guarantee, I can guarantee. And because she used this as a sense of like, she spoke, she loka hogan. Lafchido, the Misasa. She felt for that, she required Tochacha. The Tochacha came in the form of Hashemana Mimech Vivaten, which actually spurred her to recognize she has to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Ramban's take on this. What about what Chazal say? That Chazal say that he answered, well, Yitzchak Davin because he had no children. I have children already. So what is the point here? But why can't he daven for someone else? But Ulai Nisakin Hadas Rebbe say, Ki Yaakov Iyef Sheshlos Pala Lishto Ha'ahuva. Kiyakari. No doubt that Avram that Yaakov davened for his wife who's not Kara. Elish wants Kabbalah Tfilasa. He davened, but the tefillah wasn't answered. Uba at Rachel is Olel Olav. Rachel is now like he was ganging up on him. Lomar Sheyitin Labanim a Kopanim Btfilasa. You got it. Give me children through tefillah. Ki lo know for whom Yavif Shasa came. Vayicharapov Amala Ki Adavar Biad Elkim Lo Biadam. It's not in my hands. She's saying, you can do it. He says, I can't do it. The Aviv Nishma Tfilasa Shut Tzadik Vasid Lios Lozera. Why did father's tefillah get accepted? Because he's a tzaddik, and he needed to have children. He didn't have children yet. And there had to be a continuity. Avohi Nimna Mimena Privatin, and so I have children. So therefore, maybe that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing forcing Kadosh Baruch Hu to give me the children, because I have it already. I tried. Just want to end with this, just on this Ramban. It's again, it's thought provoking. It's something that you have to think about over Shabbos, I think. It's not simple because, you know, after everything's said and done, whether it's Adar Chabshat or the other thing, Pashtas, you still think that she's coming. True, she was over the top, but she's coming out of Tsar. So wouldn't you expect Yaakov to say, I feel for you, I'm pathetic, you know, yes, but. You have it a little wrong. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still like, hard to swallow that Yaakov Avinu would just respond in such a way, which is clearly a nice dvarim, you could say. And Chazal do actually critique Yaakov, but yet the Rabban is giving us a little bit of an understanding. But even afterwards, hard to hear. And then it's also hard to hear, like the extent that Yaakov did daven or didn't daven. Now he says he did daven at the end. Like, how to understand this? So, something I saw in the Simchat Yisubraida from Chevron, a couple of things here on this Ramban. First of all, he says, the Ramban says that he reacted harshly, l'achlima, l'yasos, l'achlima. What he's saying is, this is a very important nekuda for Yaakov Avinu to recognize and to make clear that he is not God. He's not, as much as Yaakov Avinu's madrega was so high, and we read in the beginning of the parasha, the Ramban says that he's directly influenced by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and says that Yaakov's image is chakuka v'kisei hakavod. Yaakov Avinu is ki'ilu, he's called Kael. Chazal Mor Megillah, Rashi quotes him in parashas Vayishlach, Vayikru Bo Kael Ke Yisrael. Anikel Bel Yonim, Atokel Batachtom, Yaakov Avinu, more than anyone else, is, you could imagine, the closest thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and earth. So, and we know there's a concept with Tzadik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. So, if Yaakov Avinu wants something, wills something, and decree something, then Azay Dav Zayin, right? With all of that, Yaakov Avinu understood he's a bus of the dam, and he's Batel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to the extent that Rachel was, you could say, grabbing onto the Nakuda that Yaakov Avinu could do anything, and this is a little bit of my own, but a little bit, I think, based on what I saw here also. So Yaakov Avinu needed to make the lesson as clear as possible that no, his power is limited. His power is, he is powerless in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's growth. The Malachim who destroyed Sodom got punished because they said, Ki mashchisim anachnu samokam hazeh. As much as they were given authorization to do Haficha Sodom, but and so they felt that us, we're destroying it. There was a tain on them. Yaakov Avinu understood that this must be made as clear as can be, that with everything that I represent, with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making me, but no, I cannot guarantee anything. So the fact that she conveyed the impression this is what needs to happen, make it happen, and she was over the top, and v'mayim meisanochi, Yaakov Avinu was makbid on that type of sentiment being expressed in his house, and also the fact that Shlo Kahogen, that's another point, in other words, that you know, the way to speak and where to speak. V'mayim meisanochi, we're using like veiled threats. So Yaakov Avinu needed to make the point that it's your problem, not mine. The other thing that he mentions here, discussing in general, you know, Avraham Avinu, daven for Sarah, didn't daven for Sarah, daven for himself, unclear. He said, Heini lo nasat zara, so maybe that's a tefillah for himself. He didn't daven for Sarah, Sarah had taina on him. Chamasi Alecha, we discussed the Bishir last night. Why did you daven for me? Yitzchak daven for Rivka. Yaakov davened for his wives, davened for Rachel, didn't daven for Rachel, unclear. Ramban himself is going a little back and forth. What's the mahalach here? I mean, isn't it pashut you should daven? If you need something, you daven for it, right? So he says a very profound thing. You have to know. A little bit to the Negev Yishir from last night. You have to know. Sometimes the mahalach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a situation of need because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to daven. Nothing comes for free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects you to ask. Someone won't give it to you if you don't ask. Sometimes the very lack is created in order to generate a tefillah. We have this idea that Chazal mentioned a lot of times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'avel et tefillah and shel tzaddikim. Sometimes that's the mahalach. So therefore you recognize that why is the situation the way it is? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to cry out to him and to daven. But sometimes it's something else. Sometimes the natural order is a certain way because that's the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're going to daven, it's like you're trying to mess with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And you're trying to, you know, to matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol to go against what his natural order is. Maybe it's inappropriate to daven. It's a very subtle distinction. And this is what the point that he wants to make. You have to know what situation calls for tefillah and what situation calls for acceptance with Ratzon Hashem and not try to go to another place, another mekubal, or another this, or another that, or to keep pushing the envelope. It's a very fine line. You know, people in Klal Yisrael, there are all kinds of situations. People, you know, daven. And a lot of times, of course, tefillah is a tremendous koach. But there's times that it's not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting us to daven. Sometimes that's all it needs. It's all it takes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants you to daven enough, you cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you see Hatzlacha. And that's exactly what needs to happen. And sometimes the response needs to be making peace with the situation. Adarabba, you have tzaddikim who daven for other people in their situations, but not for themselves. For themselves, they have less. They could make it happen, do it, you know, you have a koach of tefillah, do it. No, to the contrary, that's for me, I don't need for myself. For other people, they'll go all out to daven for them. Avraham Avinu, he says, he hears about Yitzchak, he says, Lu yishmo yechil lefanecha. What are you doing? Why are you saying that? Because Baruch Hu is promising you a son, Yitzchak. The answer is Kineged HaTeva. Because Baruch Hu didn't seem to want there to be a child from Avram and Sarah. So Avram Hashem is telling him, you're going to have a child. That was his achnat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, no, Afa became, this is your legacy Yitzchak. That's the point. So Tzadikim daven for others. Avram davens for Sodom. He did all he could to daven for Sodom. When it comes to himself, he lives on rest. Chanina b'ni. Right? The whole world is sustained because of Chanina b'ni. So the whole world comes to Chanina ben Dosa and comes with their tzaras and their problems and they're asking for this and for that and he's davening all out. Chanina b'ni, dialo b'kav charuv me'ev Shabbos le'ev Shabbos. You can't daven, you should have more parnasa b'revach. The answer is, what do I need parnasa b'revach? That's because of me? My lot is to have kav charuv me'ev Shabbos le'ev Shabbos. So when it comes to being personal for yourself, that's being selfish. So it's very important to know when you're davening for something, your kids, you know, sometimes it's a child mentality, you know, kids look at tefillah in a very simplistic way. So it's like a slot machine, right? You know, just what I want is what I want with what I want, right? So I put in another coin, then I'll get what I want. So daven another tefillah. It's a very simplistic way to think about tefillah. Tefillah is a concept of amunah and bitachon, and to the extent that situation is what it is, to some extent that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. But sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants is that you should daven. So the answer is that if your davening is selfless, it's not really for yourself, it's for others, it's for Klal Yisrael, or it's for you for the sake of a higher purpose. Because as I see it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what I need is this in order to be able to serve you better, in order to be able to do your mitzvahs better. I don't want to be sick, because if I'm sick, I can't learn Torah well. So then that's a kind of tefillah that makes sense, because it's a tefillah that, to the contrary, tefillah can work, and maybe the person is in a situation of need because Hashem wants the tefillah. But if the tefillah becomes self-serving, which is what the problem that happened, you know, in Tanakh with Korbanos became that. It's like a havdil when you want to appease a god because you have to get what you want. It's about me. So you appease a god with this and with this. So they made Korbanos into that also. That's what the Nevi'im yelled against Korbanos, right? That they wanted to daven to Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash in order to be able to have a good life, in order to have this. But it's not L'shem Hashem, it's from L'shem. That's not what tefillah is meant to be, that's not what Kabbalah is meant to be. So this is really the thought that should come out of this Ramban, in light of the Avos and their davening, and they're not davening, to what extent tefillah is meant as a means to bring Kvod Hashem in the world, and to what extent sometimes tefillah is reduced to something like, you know, what is it that I want, and what is it that's going to take to get, and then people just make it all about me, and I'll go to this tzaddik, or I'll go to that tzaddik. No, not to say you have to go to a tzaddik. Sometimes a tzaddik is what you need, but sometimes it's yourself that you need. But it's because it has to be that the tefillah has to be directed for the higher purpose, and not a simple determination to know, you know, when is the tefillah called for, because that's what it's really being called for, and when is it just my shtick, as it were, that, you know, the kids will say, I want to pray that this team will win and that team will win. Narishkeit, right? So I'll feel good if the Yankees win, right? The World Series, right? And kids think that way, because that's the way kids think. And you'll hear these kinds of questions, and not just younger kids, probably high school kids and so on, and CSY, and you have to know how to respond in a way that they can speak to them. I'm not speaking to high school kids, but you have to be able to take the ideas and be able to bring it down to their level. That really what tefillah is meant ultimately is living with a higher purpose, in line with Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what it is. Sometimes Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give you more. Hashem wants to give you. Hashem wants you to daven. If you daven, then he'll give it to you. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give you. Sometimes it takes more tefillah. Sometimes it takes making peace with what it is and saying, I'll daven for someone else, daven for something else. But this is the way apparently the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. You can't, at a certain point, you have to stop fighting. On the other hand, sometimes you have to keep fighting. How do you know when to do one course, when the other course of action? That's already a very, very difficult thing to know. Okay, so we have a little bit of a flavor of Ramban. As you can see, the Ramban is a sefer that Nixie. So anyway, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos and Baruch Mitzvah.